love you, Jesus. And so I want you to open your Bibles to Luke 19. And we're going to read verse 1 through 6. And what we're doing is actually a continuation of last week. So last week, the message title was Looking Unto Jesus. And this is Looking Unto Jesus, part 2. Amen, somebody. Thank you, Lord. And just before we read, I want to kind of refresh and remind us that in this season, I was telling some of my team that this is a season in a lot of our lives of transition. It's a season where God is pulling you closer to Him, and you may be even physically going places that you haven't been. Maybe it's on your job, maybe it's just in your spiritual life, but God is pulling you into deeper, pulling you into more, and it's a great thing. Amen, somebody. But how many of you know it's paramount when God has you in a season like this that you're not distracted? That you don't look to the right or the left, but you give everything. You set your affections on things above. And that we look unto Jesus knowing that He has everything that we need. Amen. And so what we talked about last week was part of the message was found in Numbers. And in Numbers, we talked about how Moses led out the children of Israel. And when he led out the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness. The Lord provided a manna. Y'all remember that part? They got like a little too spoiled. And then they was like, you ain't got nothing better than this bread right here. And then the Lord got a little mad because he said, no, don't nobody talk about my bread. Right? Some good bread. And so what ended up happening was we were talking about how it was a sin that they spoke against God and God's man. Amen. And so because of that sin, God had to judge the sin. So he sent fiery serpents. You all remember this? He sent fiery serpents to judge the sin, not necessarily to judge the people. Ugh. Okay. And so he sent the serpents, and all of a sudden the children of Israel got themselves together. All it takes is a little something from the Lord. You'd be like, okay, I remember now. I'm humble now, Lord Jesus. And so what ended up happening was they went to Moses and they said, we are sorry. We done spoke against you, the Lord. We are so sorry. Can you do anything about these snake bites that we're getting? And then Moses went to the Lord. The Lord said, build a statue. Hang it on a pole. It was a statue of a snake. Hang it on the pole. And when they look at the statue, their lives will be saved. Amen. What a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that when we look to Him, that man who was hanging on a pole, our lives are saved. The pain is taken away. Amen, somebody. And so we're going to continue in that, in looking unto Jesus. Because how many of you know just your gaze on Him? I love what Delisha shared this morning. Just your gaze on Him is healing. Just you focusing on Him builds your faith. Ask the woman with the issue of blood. She saw Him and she said, now's the time. And so we're going to continue in that, looking unto Jesus and how important it is and how it's going to bless us. So let's start Luke 19 and 1. Let's read. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Okay, I'm talking about. He got that pay. I'm sorry, online. That's how we get down around here. Got to make a disclaimer. Okay, and it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he had a short stature. Shout out to the short people. No, I'm just playing. John Paul said. Zacchaeus was short in stature. I just feel a short anointing in here for some reason. I feel it. Chuck started playing harder when I said that too. Yeah. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Next verse, please. Thank you so much, Nancy. So glad that you're back. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Jesus, was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. Last verse. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you're doing in this place. We thank you for your spirit that just somehow gives us a state of peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you that you're healing today. Open our hearts that we can receive your word, that we can come even closer to you. And all these things, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to circle back to this, but I got something to tell you. It just be, Tommy, I get it. When you be wanting Chuck to play, it feels so good. What is it? You feel a little more anointed when he plays. Is that what it is? Jasmine said it's the anointing. He's just like, I get an accent when Chuck plays. And the Lord said, I don't know what it is. I'm sorry. Okay, let me bring it back. Is that true, Mama? I don't know. Let me say this. This is what I want to share with you. We're going to circle back to the passage of scripture. Listen to this for each and every one of you in here. There is a plan and there is purpose, help me, Mama Barbara, for your pain. Woo! There is a plan and there is purpose for your pain. Am I talking to anybody already? You're not just going through any old thing. This isn't just a random attack. My God. This isn't just something that just so happened to happen to you. But there's something in it that the Lord has seen that's making you better. Oh, Jesus. Woo! Come on, Nancy. I hear you. And so understand this. Understand that I might get in trouble for this. I don't know. But I'm trying to be as respectful as I can of your pain and your situation. I shared this yesterday, and I felt prompted to share it today, that it's not so much that the pain that you're experiencing is bad. That's not really the bad thing. What makes it so tormenting is that you don't know the purpose of it. What torments us is we just think it's pain for no reason. Oh, God. My Jesus. We just think it's pain without a plan, and that's tormenting. I can see if I had to endure some pain because of this, but when you don't have the plan or the purpose, it's torment. So I don't know how y'all grew up, but I'm going to share a little bit of my life. When I was a child, we had something, it's very archaic, Ronnie. We had something that was called Genesis whoopings. Her too, she got whooped. Some people are like, what is that? What are you talking about? It was a little something called whoopings, or in the New King James, it's called spankings. Anybody ever heard of spanking? Online, have you heard of spankings? and I remember, if I start crying up here, y'all, going back, Lord Jesus, heal me for me, Lord. When I was growing up and we would get in trouble, we would have, you know, we would get spanked, whooped. You too, Big Ron? Okay, well, look. Okay, well, bye. It's like we all healing right now. We are, all of us are 6 years old again, like, that was me. Come on now. And I, for me, I don't know about y'all, but there was a couple of choice things that my mama or daddy would use. I'm going to say some stuff, Chuck. You may not know. I know. I feel like Chuck will know. Chuck, you know? I used to, I don't know about y'all, but there was a thing called a switch. You see how healing just happened in here? Oh. And what was so devastating about the switch is that your mama or daddy or grandmama or auntie would make you go get it. What in the world? So I'm about to die, and you want me to find the tool to kill my. And so we're kids. Anybody know what a switch is? We know? Okay. So y'all walking with me through this. Okay. And so I would get in trouble. And what would happen was, mom or dad or whoever, back then the whole village could whoop you. It doesn't even matter. The mailman be like, what'd he do? The mailman. Caleb, we be having fun up here, Caleb. And so what would happen was I would have to go get the switch. And for me, I don't know about y'all, but I would try to get the most dried stick that would break on the first hit, Mama Bar. And then my mom, most of the time, would measure the stick. And she would get the switch that had the most life in it, the most pliable. The one that said, pew, 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 pew. I'm just up here getting free, y'all. And there was another thing called extension cord. Okay, Mama Jo just said, now wait a minute. Hot wheel track. I'm about to come hug you. Hot wheel track. It's some people like, you guys didn't call 1-800, guys talking about? Tommy said hot wheel track. And so when we would get a spanking or a whooping or whatever you call it, part of obviously the negative experience was being SWAT. But the other negative experience, which was to me more traumatic, was I don't know if this third hit is the last one, or if there's 30 more. Amen. And if you had a mama anything like my mama, all of a sudden she talked different when she whoop you. It's like, Ellen, I know you don't. It's like space in between the words. It's like, finish this. It's like, I done told you to stop. It's like, can you finish your sentence first? And then commence. Don't you ever, got a whole paragraph? Oh, my goodness. And so what was devastating was obviously being spanked, but the other part that was devastating, like I said, was not knowing when the pain was going to end, right? I was talking to the team yesterday, and I told them about Zoe and Kobe, and how those are my children, if you didn't know, Zoe and Kobe, and how they get immunization shots, and they give you the worst face when they give them the shot. They make you feel like you just the worst daddy. Like they get a shot that they have to get, and they look at you like, why? Well, you're my father. The problem is not so much the pain, even for the kid it is, right? But the problem is they don't know why they're being shot, right? But let me tell you something about me as a dad. Because I have a plan and because I know there's purpose for the pain, oh God, I love you. I'm willing for my child to endure this momentary pain because I know it's going to have a lasting effect. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you that there is a plan for your pain? whether you know it or not, there is purpose in your pain. Who am I talking to? In here. Mama Barbara, can I use you like I did yesterday? We were talking about, to Mama Barbara and just how she is just full of energy and life, and she walks in that door and she just be doing this, and she just do her Mama Barb, and then she'll start singing. And we was just like, Mama Barbara, you have so much energy. What is the secret? She said, exercise. We were like, come on now. And one thing about that is I asked her, one of the things I said was, because Mama Barb has a personal trainer. She for real in that gym. She said, I'm getting it. That's what I'm talking about. And so when she's in the gym, she having that personal trainer, she has committed herself to the strategy of the trainer. And I asked her, I said, do you go through any pain? She said, I go through a lot of pain. But one thing about that pain, you can ask her and you can look at her. Talk to us. Come on, we can give God a shout of praise for that. And so all I'm trying to tell you and want to encourage in you is one of the things that she said yesterday, she said, oh, I can feel my arms. I feel the muscle coming through my arms. Oh, okay, okay. So what she was saying was that the pain has a plan. And even spiritually, I know you may be going through some things that don't feel the best, but can I tell you that your spiritual muscles are starting to show? Oh, bless you, Lord God. Can I tell you that the pain has a purpose? And it's your Father who allowed this momentary pain. I can show you real quick. Let's jump to the scripture. Thank you, Lord. I don't want you to just think you're all by yourself. Thank you, Jesus. What's the purpose of our pain? 2 Corinthians 4:17. You're not just going through. It's not just a struggle. If you don't know the plan or the purpose, it can feel like torment. But to know that God, if you're allowing this, it's something in it that you see is going to make me better. Here's a purpose. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Oh, God. Y'all mind if I read that again real quick? It says, for our light affliction. And when it's saying light, it's not disrespecting what you're going through, but it's saying in comparison to what's going to happen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is faithful to complete the work that he started in you. Just like a personal trainer, Mama Bart. That there are some things that he'll have you do that may not feel good, but it's for your good. Doesn't always feel good to forgive. Doesn't always feel good in the times when your flesh saying, say something, when God says, no, don't say anything. Somebody just testifies to that one. Doesn't always feel good, but there's something God is doing. When he knows he's calling you to a place where you might feel fear, and the Lord is saying, go anyway, it's because it's working something in you that the next time that thing come around, you're going to have a whole new peace. We love you. So that's the purpose. Let's figure out the plan. 1 Peter 5:9. That's the purpose. Let's hear the plan. Nancy, if you can do the New Living Translation in this one. Is this blessing anybody? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's for a reason. It's not for you to give up. It's not for you to draw back. The devil would love for nothing more than for you to be so discouraged you keep your holy and anointed mouth closed. But how many know the devil is a liar? And not only are we going to go forth, but we're going to go forth with power and authority. 1 Peter 5:9 for me. Yeah, it's all right. First Peter 5 and 10. New Living Translation. Somebody say there's a plan. There's a plan. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this. In his kindness, God has called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So listen, here's the plan. After you suffered a little while, he will restore, support, strengthen, and he will place you on a firm foundation. After you suffered a while, somebody say there's an expiration date. He will restore. Look, I got to get myself together. No, you don't. He will restore every relationship. He will restore every affliction. He will restore, support, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Lord. There's a boldness that we have to walk in this season to attain everything that the Lord has for us. It's a boldness that we have to have. And that boldness doesn't come from us. It comes from us knowing the promises of God. If God said your body is healed, come on in here. I just love that testimony, Delisha. If he said your body is healed, I'm going to walk in that promise. And then my body has to line up. Walk in that promise. We walk in that promise. Right before I came up here, I received a devastating phone call about the condition of a very, very dear friend. And the facts aren't good. But I choose to walk in the promise. Amen. I choose to walk in what the Lord said. And how many of you know there are promises concerning your situation? Listen, concerning your children, concerning your current struggles, there are promises that the Lord has made. And all we have to do is keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Focused on Jesus. In Luke 19, thank you so much, Chuck, bro. In Luke 19, it talks about Zacchaeus. The Bible says he was a chief tax collector. And the reason why the Lord brought this passage of scripture out to me was because of a few things we'll get to. But Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a rich man. He was a short man. I'm not being funny. It's what the word says. And it says he was a chief tax collector. And so with chief tax collectors, these are those that are most of the time despised by the Jews, right? And so what happens is themselves being Jews, they're hired to tax the Jews and give that money to the Roman government. And so not only was he a tax collector, but he was chief, which means other tax collectors probably gave him what they had. And then he gave it to the Roman government. So he was the most hated. But there was something in him, when he heard Jesus was coming, he had to see about it. This is the part that I want you all to see. His specific situation says that he was a short man. That was his personal situation. And so his height hindered him from seeing the Lord. I just want to ask you today, what in your personal situation could be hindering you from seeing the Lord? Let's think about that. And so what Zacchaeus didn't do is he didn't say, you know what? If God would have wanted me to see him, he would have made me 6'3". No, he did something about it. And this is the part that I want to bring out in this passage. The Bible says because he was short, but he had a desire to see Jesus, he took action and climbed a tree. Here's the message for today. It's time to go higher. It's time to go higher. If you can't see him like you want to see him, maybe it's because we need to put just a little more effort, maybe even getting a little uncomfortable, Delisha, and go higher. Jesus. Woo! Is this blessing anybody? We love you. Zacchaeus had to go higher, and one of the parts of just a beautiful story of how when Jesus called him down, he stayed with him, and there was a conversion made by him. Read it when you have a chance, but it's just that tree that I want to focus on. I just want to focus on the tree. He was determined to go higher. The situation didn't have to be perfect for him. He took action. And the other part that I love is there was a crowd, but he was the only one who climbed the tree. And there are some seasons of your life where it seems like you're the only one who has to put forth more effort. Oh, God, we love you. There are some seasons of your life where you're the one who's going to have to put forth more effort. Because for some of us, if we're honest, it takes effort sometimes to get to church. Okay, not in this church, my bad. Everybody holy in this church, I guess. Pardon me. Sometimes in order to see Jesus, it takes a little more effort. Because sometimes I don't feel like lifting my hands. But my desire for Jesus has to be bigger than my situation. Zacchaeus may have been short, right? But he had this desire that was gigantic and that was not going to be stopped. I just wonder if there's anybody in here who has a desire to see the Lord, that you won't let anybody stop you in this season. You won't let any lie stop you. You won't let any hindrance stop you. Anything that could come against you, you say, no, I have a desire to see him. If I have to climb a tree, if I have to build a tree house, if I have to do anything, I'm going to see him. I won't be distracted. I won't be stopped. I'll do whatever I have to do. Because it's time to go higher. Somebody shout higher. Last week, I just love this. Last week, we talked about the goodness of God, right? And I just mentioned it in Numbers, the children of Israel spoke against Moses and the Lord, and the snakes were there, and so they were living among snakes because of their sin. They looked at the pole, and then all of a sudden, because they looked at this snake that the Lord instructed Moses to make on the pole, they were redeemed, healed, restored. Amen. But how many of you know that you're not called to live among the snakes? Your life experience shouldn't be back and forth, getting bit, looking at the pole, getting bit, looking at the pole, up and down, Monday, Tuesday, I was good last week, I'm bad this week. That is not what God has for you. It's not what he has for you. He doesn't have this back and forth life where you're up sometimes and down sometimes. There's a place that you can go where the enemy can't find you. There's a place that you can go. Oh, I know it to be true. Do I have any witnesses in here? There's a place that you can go where depression can't find you. Come on. There's a place where fear can't find you, and it's in the secret place. Woo! It's in the secret place of the Most High. And so thank God for the pole and the snake, and thank God that the Lord showed mercy and delivered us, but we're not called to live. How many know Jesus being crucified one time was enough? So we're not called to live there. You're not called to a back and forth life. Whom the Son sets free, Yeah, you don't have to have a roommate with depression your whole life. Or perversion or lust. Or shame or guilt because of your past. Once the Lord delivered you from that snake bite, that was it. You don't have to live there. Amen. And so, I just thought this was just so amazing. It was something that I was reading up on. And has anybody heard of something called a snake line? Ooh, okay. Called the snake line? Somebody, one person said, yeah. So I literally want to read this to you. This is like a real thing, right? Chuck, I'm so glad you kept playing. Nobody ever heard of a snake line? All right. Good. Bless you, Jesus. I want to read this to you. So listen to this. This says, this is a snake line. This is a real account. It says, naturalists, this is years ago, could still be true to this day. It says, naturalists, in reality, tells of an invisible, real, definite, unchangeably fixed at any given altitude above sea level. There's a line known as the snake line. We are told that in certain mountainous areas in New England, one of the first questions of a prospective purchaser of a farm is likely to be this: is the farm above the snake line? It says, below that line, there may be deadly reptiles imperiling man and beast. Above that line, no snake can live. Below that line, an unsuspecting child or any unwary adult may fall victim to one of these deadly reptiles. But above that line, they move about in untroubled security. And so what's being said is that, at least in these times, there was something called a snake line. When somebody was interested in buying land, they would ask as the first question. The snake line is this level above sea level that is so high that it's not enough air and oxygen for snakes to live. Somebody say it's time to go higher. The snake line is a line where if I can just live up here and my children be up here with me and my health up here with me and my family up here with me, snakes, reptiles, or any sinful thing can't find me. The issue is, I believe, is that a lot of us aren't aware of the snake line. We're not aware that spiritually there's a place that you can go where, though anxiety is looking for you, it can't live where you are. Can I tell you where that place is? We're almost done. There's a place where snakes can't go. Acts 17:28. And we're going to pray in 1 second. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's a place where you don't have to go back and forth and back and forth and fearful and then bold and fearful and depressed and low and high. There's a place where there'll be much consistency in your life. And that place, how many know, is in Him. Acts 17:28. The scripture says it like this. We can write it down. It says, in Him we live, we move, we have our being. In Him. We don't visit Him, right? But we make up our mind to live. I said this before. I said, your address spiritually, Ronnie, your address should be Psalms 91. I don't know what your natural address is, but your spiritual address should be Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the all. Fear won't find you. It can't live. No matter what the devil tries to put on you or tries to frustrate you with, it can't live. Another scripture says it like this. Though the weapon may be formed. Come on, preach it back to me. There you go. Colossians 3:3. This is above the snake line. Don't have to go back and forth your whole life. You can live above in joy, in peace, in authority, in the boldness of Christ. Here it is. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a place where we live, Nancy. That's a place where we live. Oh, I love it. Here's the last one. Ephesians 2, we're going to read verse 4 and 6. Is this blessing anybody? Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. It's funny because if you were to tell somebody the reality of your situation, as strong as you look, as beautiful as you look, and as handsome as you look, and as put together as you look, the truth of the matter is, it's the strength of the Lord that you're walking in. Is that just my truth or is that yours too? That if you knew what I was going through, you would think that I should be a pile of dust right now. But because God is good and I'm walking in His strength, come on, I'm walking in His love. I'm walking in His forgiveness. I'm walking in His power. Oh, it's not me, it's Him that you see. It's not me, it's Him that you see. Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Ooh, don't you do it, Mama Bar. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Last verse says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you know that's above the snake line? Can we pause right there and give God a big shout of praise? That every single thing that's trying to stop you in this season, it's going to have to fall short because you're going so high, it can't follow you. Oh, there's healing happening right now. Come on in here. Yeah, you're going so high that it can't follow you. Let me tell you what can follow you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. And I will what, Mama Bar? And I will dwell above the snake line. Forgive me, I got a shout right there. Hold up. Let me get it out. Woo! We love you. So what does it mean? It means it's time to go higher in your worship. It's time to go higher in consecration. Now is not the season to draw back. It's time to go higher in your commitment. Higher in intimacy. Come on. Higher. Higher in Jesus. Higher in Jesus. Higher in Jesus. Come on, John Paul. That's it. That's it. Online, John Paul just stood on a chair. We having a Holy Ghost party right now. Time to go higher. It's time to go higher. It's time to go higher. If you're wrestling with something, you're too low. If you're going back and forth, like I've been going back and forth, you're too low. The answer isn't, God, give me victory. It's not being, go higher. God, give me the strategy to defeat the, no, go higher. Oh, we bless you. I promise you, when you go higher, addiction won't find you. I promise you, when you go higher, there it is. There's a breaking happening right now. Come on. Perversion won't find you when you go higher. Bitterness won't find you when you go higher. It can't live with you. Come on in here. Oh, Shah, we love you. See, when you go higher, there's nothing but authority, boldness, the grace of God, the love of Jesus, knowing that you're a son and a daughter. You wake up knowing that you're blessed and highly favored. You wake up knowing that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You wake up knowing who you are. Somebody shout, higher! I'm sorry, baby. If that was us, I think we scared the baby a little bit. But God is good. Somebody shout higher. Listen to this. Are we okay? Zacchaeus had to put forth effort. It may not come as easy as last season. Zacchaeus had to put forth effort, which means there was one season where God gave you space, Delisha. He let you praise and worship and gave you space. He got all your enemies out the way and let you. But there's another season coming where you might be surrounded by some things and have to know in the middle of the storm, God is still worthy. He's still with you. Come on in here, somebody. Yeah, because we're going higher. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Here's the effort that we have to put forth. Listen, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14 says, I press. It may not come easy. I press. I press how my body feels. I press past what my mind is trying to tell me. I press past what enemies are trying to say. The imps of the devil. Come on. I press past. My God. It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. The only answer is higher. Less fighting. Just go higher. Less wrestling with fear and just go higher where the enemy can't live. And so while we're talking about looking unto Jesus, this is what you need to know. This is how you know your vision and your focus is correct. The way you know that you're focused on the right thing, I said it like this. It says, I know how you see because of what you say. I'm gonna say it again. I know how you see because of what you say. Which means that I can tell what your focus is by the way you're talking. My God, if all we're talking about, can I just tell on myself sometimes? If all you're talking about is the problem, that's what you're focused on. Something happens when you focus on Jesus. You're walking right in the middle of a tornado and you're just saying, God is good and God is worthy and he deserves all my praise. And people are wondering, like, how are you saying that when you're going through? No, because my focus is on him. I'm going to sing in the middle of a storm. So there's a passage in scripture. Let's stand to our feet. There's a passage in scripture where the Lord Jesus heals this man in Bethsaida. Let me pause real quick. Can I say this real quick? There is no more grace on that low level. Just like the Lord told Elijah, you got to get out because the brook dried up. For some of us, grace has dried up on that lower level. As much as you demand it and call for it, the only way you're going to see the favor of God and the grace of God is when you decide to go higher. Some of us are waiting for the grace, and we're waiting at that lower level where the snakes live, and God is like, no, it's not there anymore. You won't see favor like you will on that higher level. But watch this. Grace is waiting for you when you go higher. Favor is waiting for you when you go higher. That healing is waiting for you. And so Jesus comes to this man in Bethsaida, and passage of scripture that we're very familiar with, but the man wanted to be healed. He wanted his eyes to be healed. And what ended up happening was, the Bible says that this is one of the times, you know, Jesus spit on his eyes and laid hands on him. And it was, sometimes a blessing can be messy. That's all I'm going to say about that. But here's what's interesting. The Lord prayed, laid hands on him. And then he says, what do you see? And then the man says, I see men as trees. Such a beautiful passage because of this. The Lord knew because of what the man said that he wasn't seeing correctly. It was what came out of his mouth that let Jesus know, you're not seeing it yet. And for some of us, though we may feel like we're in position in it and that we're in the right place, just for yourself, watch what comes out of your mouth. Because just like the man, because Jesus knew men aren't trees. So if that's what's coming out of your mouth, it's because your eyes aren't seeing correctly. Somebody say, yet. So when he heard what came out of his mouth and that, oh, okay, so you said you see men as trees, so you're not seeing accurately, I'm going to lay hands on you again. Because how many of you know in here that it's a process? Anybody know you're on a process? And so what happened is Jesus laid hands on him and his sight was fully restored. But it's interesting to know that his sight was described from his mouth. I wonder in here today, and we're going to pray, what you're talking about. Because what you're talking about lets us know what you're focused on. It lets us know how you see. I see men as trees. That came out his mouth, but it let us know what his eyes beheld. And sometimes we're talking so much about the problem that it reveals to us we're not focused on the solution. Oh, God. I feel the Lord in this place calling us, watch this, to take action. Like Zacchaeus, calling us to take action and exert just a little bit of effort. It would have been easy for Zacchaeus as a short man to just see Jesus and behold him, but Zacchaeus had to do something. And I just feel like today, we got to do something. Today, there's a little effort that we have to put forth, and it's a decision that we're making to go higher. It's a decision that we're making to focus on Jesus. No matter what's going on around you. And watch what happens. The more you focus on him, the more your mouth will line up with what your eyes are focused on. And so I want to pray with you today. And I just want to pray that we have the boldness, the mindset, and the wherewithal in this season to go higher. Higher than you've been. Listen, it may be uncharted territory, but God is calling you. It may feel weird or a little uncomfortable. I don't know how many trees Zacchaeus climbed in his life. It may have been the first time, but it was necessary. And so it's necessary in this season that you do whatever you have to do. Climbing a tree is not doctrine. He did what he had to do. But there's an anointing that focuses us. And if you know you have to be refocused, we want to pray with you. If you know your mouth has to line up with your vision, we want to refocus you today. We want to pray alongside you. I'm going to ask for you to come down if that's you. We want to pray with you. There is a breaking in here right now. It's a revelation that understands this, that everything you need is in Jesus, but to remain focused, you got to go higher. Just begin to pray. Pray with me, because there's breakthrough happening right now. I just declare that as you come forward, that you're leaving every anxiety behind. As you come forward, you're crossing over the snake line, leaving depression behind you. As you come forward, you're leaving all the bitterness behind you. This whole time, the Lord has been calling you higher, 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 above every perversion, above pornography, above addiction, higher, above hatred, above sexual immorality, higher, higher, above fear, above shame and guilt. He's calling you higher, 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 higher. And so we want to pray with you all that are up here.